There's an old story about a man in Budapest who goes to his rabbi to complain. The man says, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What should I do?" The rabbi says, "Take your goat into your room with you." The man's a little incredulous about this, but the rabbi insists. "Do as I say. Come back in 1 week." A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than he was before, and he says, "We can't stand it. The goat is filthy." The rabbi says, "Go home, let the goat out, and come back in 1 week." In a week, the man comes back radiant and exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every moment of it, and there's only 9 of us living in one room." I have the sense that for most of us, gratitude is not instinctive, but is cultivated. It's the kind of thing we learn as our hearts are turned again and again towards the outpouring of blessings that fill our lives. Jesus knew this long before it became vogue to think of something to be thankful for every day of November. In Matthew, we find our passage that Susan read for us in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It's directly after Jesus warns the thousands who are gathered that they can't serve 2 masters. Right after that, we hear those words. We hear Jesus directing the people not to worry about food and drink and clothing, but to be thankful for the provisions that have been afforded to each one's. Now, these words were true before anyone could test them or experiment with them in science. And yet, we today have lots of studies that have proved the same thing. I wonder if you've caught any of these gratitude studies. Out of the Harvard Medical School, there was one study that compared 3 groups. The first group was invited to write things they were grateful for during the week. The second group was to write about the daily irritations, the things that get you a little bothered during the day. And the third group, kind of the control against the other two, was just asked to list down the things that they did each day. After 10 weeks, you can guess how this went. The group that was cultivating gratitude was more optimistic. But you might not have guessed this part. They also began exercising more and had fewer trips to their doctors. A second study from the University of Pennsylvania invited individuals to think about their earliest memory, the thing that goes the farthest back for you, and out of that memory, write a thank you note to someone you've never thanked, involved in your earliest memory. They tracked those folks for a while, and the impact of cultivating that kind of gratitude lasted for months. Studies have been done over and over. I'll share this other one that says that if you say 1 gratitude each day, your blood pressure comes down. Now, I don't have MD after my name, so I'm not going to suggest you don't take your blood pressure pills as well. But I wonder what it would look like as you take them to say a gratitude as well. The last study comes also out of Harvard and says that gratitude helps our relationships, the way we relate to those who matter most to us. A study of couples said those who take time to express gratitude to one another were able to hear the concerns of their loved ones more thoroughly. Now, I think this has a lot of implications for our relationships, but I also think it has a lot to say about our relationship with God. When we begin our prayers first with gratitude, we find ourselves more comfortable saying to God, "Now, what about that thing that just happened?" And being able to hear where God is leading us as well. This is not only the words of Jesus. We also heard the letter from the first letter to Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging him in a quiet and content kind of a life, the kind that comes from thanksgiving and prayer, gratitude and godliness, perhaps the kind of peace that you and I are seeking, the sacred in the midst of the ordinary that is a byproduct of that kind of life. I was recently reading the theologian Paul Tillich, and he suggests that the most predominant anxiety that you and I have in the modern age is about emptiness and meaninglessness. How is it that our world makes sense in the midst of all that seems to be moving around us? On from Paul Tillich, we get the wisdom of the Jesuit priest Anthony de Mello, who says in response to Tillich, "You sanctify whatever you are grateful for." That is where the meaning comes from. That is to say, instead of you and I nursing that which bothers us, cultivate a grateful heart. Our cultivation of a grateful heart, I don't think, is instinctive to most of us. It requires that we move beyond the off-handed ways in which we often engage one another. How often have you heard yourself saying, as you finish in the checkout line at the grocery store, "Oh yeah, thanks," and walking right by without even noticing who exactly you were thanking? Or perhaps as the casserole dish was passed at dinner, mumbling off a thank you while telling the next story? Or perhaps we even do it sometimes in our prayers. As we list down, "These are all the things I'd really like you to do something about, God. And oh, by the way, thank you for something or another." Can't you hear it in your own head? How often have we said to children, "Now, did you thank Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so? Did you say thank you when they gave you such and such?" The story I want to share with you next has been told in multiple ways, but here's one of them. It's a story about two men who were walking in a field one day when they encounter a bull coming at them. You can imagine. They look for the nearest fence to separate themselves from the bull, but the bull is in full pursuit, and they're concerned. They might not make it. So terrified, one man says to the other, "Put up a prayer. John, we're in for it." The other one says, "I never prayed publicly in my life." "But you must," implores the companion. The bull is almost to us." "All right," says the second man, "I'll do the only prayer I know." In which case he says, "O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly grateful." You and I only have cultivated as much as we have paid attention to. This man only had the prayer that he heard at the dinner table with his father. Gratitude requires our careful attention, our tender and our tuned hearts. Now, if you're anything like me, this Thursday coming up, you might be anticipating sitting around a table or at a counter expressing some thanks around Thanksgiving. You might express it out loud. You might very well treasure it in the stillness of your heart as you kind of look at the table spread in front of you. You might thank God. You might thank the person who made the pies. You might thank yourself for the hard work that went in to this meal, or you might be sitting there without any words to say. However we find gratitude this Thursday, our gratitude changes us. When we express our gratitude, our eyes and our hearts become more attuned. We have cultivated that which we need to see of God's blessings, the grace and the gifts. But we also might find ourselves on Thursday wondering exactly what we're giving thanks for. Perhaps, like the pilgrims of so many years ago, despite our hard work and dedication, things haven't gone exactly like we might have hoped. In the story of the pilgrims and the natives, a mere 10 months before this celebrated feast, they had decided to return to England because the devil you know is better than the one you don't. People afflicted with new diseases, no food growing, and no shelter from the harsh winters proved to be more hostile than welcoming. The pilgrims were close to venturing across the ocean, even with the knowledge of seasickness and illness. Times were bleak. The Thanksgiving feast came just in time to plant hope within their wilting souls. Depending on the accounts you read, it could be the generosity of the natives that planted hope within their hearts. It could have been the tenacity of learning this foreign land that planted hope within their hearts. Or it could well have been the providence of God that planted hope that they could hold on to. Whatever it was, we can imagine that not everyone felt like celebrating that first Thanksgiving. And there are times that you and I don't always feel like celebrating at Thanksgiving. Maybe our 10 months ago was just like the pilgrims. Jobs hard to find, work that keeps asking more and more of us, many who are ill and wondering what comes next, hoping they could just return to a better time. Maybe we too need some hope planted in our wilting souls. A hope that comes from God, the God who offers us a bounty of blessing, the God who sows seeds of love, hoping that they will take root and grow in us and in those around us. The God of us all, who offers love and hope eternal. So I hope on this Thanksgiving, you'll find opportunities to cultivate moments of gratitude. Don't let the day pass without your heart full of gratitude expressed to those who need to hear it. Whatever reason you might find yourself in grateful Thanksgiving for. I know I'll be giving thanks for some incredible mashed potatoes that my husband makes and that I look forward to every Thanksgiving, chocked with more butter and creamer than I ever should have, only once a year. You might be giving thanks for those who have come alongside you during the year as you have walked a time that was difficult, perhaps a diagnosis, or perhaps a time you didn't expect as part of this year. Consider expressing your full gratitude to a spouse who needs to hear again why it is that you walk together in this path. Or maybe for you, it's telling your children again, whether they're grown or growing, why it is that you see God in them in this process. I pray that you'll find time on Thanksgiving and in the days to come to give thanks to the God who has graced us with more than we could ever recount. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.